Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Gridiron updates. We're at week one, gentlemen. Week one of the NFL season. Obviously, with me today, we got our co-host, Rob. Rob, what's going on this week, brother?
Not much. Just spent some time with the family at the dog tracks. My dog was actually racing in the doodle race, so hung out there with the fam. It was pretty cool. It was the best in show, so yeah, it was a fun time.
Your dog was the best in show?
No, it didn't quite make it. Well, the tournament this weekend was the best in show. She previously won another race to qualify to get to this race.
Of course.
Go busy.
All right. You were also busy this week in the last, 48 whatever hours building our new set.
Yes.
If you guys notice,
we're here.
Rob did an excellent job on it, and it is installed, ready to go for you guys for week one. Craziness. Obviously, right here in the middle, we got our guest Jake this week. He is a Ravens fan. I almost said Falcons again.
Again, yeah, I know. That would have been the third time. And for the record, I'm also the half Packer fan that he made reference to during the pregame or the preseason.
He listened. Yeah. He listened to the episode.
Absolutely. So definitely, I heard
to
that.
Make sure we weren't talking crap right away.
Right. That's right. Prepare myself.
Fair enough.
Some ammunition.
Well, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. No, it's exciting to have somebody other than just Vikings fans in here.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're really excited about his take on the Ravens and kind of what their season is going to look like this year. But before we do any of that, we just wanted to make sure you guys all know that this episode, once again, is brought to you by The Cappy. The Cappy, again, kind of our do-all can opener, cover, whatever you want to do. You can open cans with them. You can go ahead and flip that thing around, put it back down, and recover the hole. I'm not going to pour it out for you. That is not its purpose. But it will keep those bugs out. So if you do have,
already.
See, it does not keep the liquid in, but it does keep bugs out.
Yeah, they're attracting already on the sugars. I just used it at Ribfest a couple weeks ago, and my mom is a big can drinker, so she threw that right on there when we're cooking ribs because the bees were coming around the barbecues and covered it right up. Worked smooth.
For sure.
It's perfect for tailgating season, too.
It's coming.
Tailgate season.
Yep, absolutely. And also, even though it's like the unofficial end of summer, fall's rolling in, campfires, bonfires, evenings.
True.
Perfect.
True.
I'm in
true.
And all that.
Absolutely. And don't forget, obviously, it does have, it's all wet. Gosh, don't forget, it does have a key ring option, so you can keep it on your keychain, ready to go for you. But yeah, again, thanks to the Cappy for sponsoring this episode of Gridiron Updates.
Yeah, get it at Amazon.
Amazon, 4-pack. With that, let's head right into our week one episode. I did want to just kind of remind everybody how this will work this season. So right off the rip, usually we will have kind of our 5-game recap. You know, the week before we'll preview 5 games, which is what we will be doing at the end of this episode. And then we will recap those 5 games to start.
Otherwise known as making fun of everyone's picks.
Correct. Making fun of everybody's picks, making sure everybody knows how experienced we are as armchair GMs.
Yep.
But we have none of that this week. But anyway, after the recap, then we'd head into our tent talk. That includes any injuries, free agent signings, trades, any news, whatever that may be.
Maybe some of your questions, too.
Maybe some of your questions. It might be a great spot to throw that in there. So comment any questions, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, whatever, wherever you're watching the banter. And then right after that, we'll always have our bonehead move of the week, kind of a little goofy segment where, you know, we kind of make fun of people a little bit about their decision making when they're making all this money as professionals. But excited about another year of bonehead move of the week. And then, of course, we finish the episode with our, you know, predictions and kind of go into the next week's slate of 5 games that, you know, we preview. And then we just kind of close out the show from there. But again, this week, no 5 games to recap because we didn't have any. Rob, real quick, before I have a special question for Jake, the newcomer this week.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
None at all. It's all on me right now.
Featured guest. How do you feel about how the Vikes wrapped up preseason? Just because we're Vikings fans, you know, might as well lay it on me. Any surprises on the roster cuts?
No, I felt like there was a few, I think, defense alignment people are questioning. Bo, it was one of the things.
I liked Bo and Andre Carter.
Yeah, those were the two that I was going to mention. I think they kept putting up an extra receiver. Mm-hmm. And then they also dumped that running back.
Gaskin?
No.
Or Kanae?
Kanae. Yeah. And I think that was probably the biggest surprise, honestly, out of the roster moves that I would say. But in general, other than JJ, we came and Addison, we came out of it pretty healthy.
Yeah, so, for sure. For sure. Well, I am concerned that right now the Vikes are heading into the season with two running backs in the NFL. That seems scary to me.
It does.
And we got a fullback, but one of the better ones in the league, I would say. But two running backs in the NFL, that's just not going to cut it. I do expect some sort of move. No idea what that's going to be, but I am expecting them to make some sort of one more move. I thought maybe a return to Dalvin Cook, but we'll get into where he has gone somewhere else season. Ugh.
I don't need it.
But anyway, Jake.
Yo.
Welcome to Gridiron Updates.
Glad to be here.
Since you are a Ravens fan, that one was on purpose. But
at least he likes purple.
We can get behind the purple. We can get behind the purple.
It's a better purple, but yeah.
All right.
Well, all right. He's done.
It's a new
short
purple.
Short leash. Retract. But anyway, with the Ravens this season, what are you expecting as a Ravens fan? What are you expecting out of them heading into 2024 here?
So what I'm expecting, probably a lot of the same as all the previous years. You're still going to see a lot of Ravens running the football. We might see them open up the passing game a little bit more. It'll be year two for Zay Flowers, so it'll be interesting to see if he continues to develop. He had an amazing rookie season, really stood out. And then I'd like to see Rashad Bateman continue to improve and grow.
So would we.
In year eight.
Yeah, I know. I always thought he was a great player. I mean, coming out of Minnesota, I mean, we saw a lot of him on TV. Yeah. So, and then the biggest thing, though, for me is like seeing Derrick Henry in purple and black. It's so amazing. And I'm glad to see that he's on our side, wrecking defenses instead of us having to tackle him. He's a beast. Like, everyone talks about how Roquan Smith is arguably like the best linebacker in the NFL right now.
Linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Derrick Henry makes Roquan look small. And
he does.
Just
he's a big human being.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely looking forward to the Lamar and Derrick Henry tandem.
Well, and you talk about, looking to see the Ravens open up the passing game a little bit more. I mean, having Derrick Henry in the backfield is only going to help that because now you have at least – at some point in the game, you have to stack the box. You have to keep that rushing honest. And with Derrick Henry back there, I mean, you have to account for him at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to definitely see a lot of 7 and 8 man fronts. We'll hopefully then allow even Mark Andrews to open up the middle of the field for him too. Yeah.
Recovering from a car accident.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, you guys did lose a few people, especially up front. Is that going to slow down Derrick Henry, or is the Lamar effect still with the RPOs?
Good question.
Is going to still continue to not see a change?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There was a lot of offensive line change. We lost two key starters. I think it's Simpson and Zeitzel. So both of our big guards, and obviously moving some pieces around. Taking Flaley out of the tackle spot and putting him into the guard. We'll see how he transitions there. His footwork has been kind of sloppy, but if he can get him rolling, those RPOs I think they'll be good. They just need some time to mesh, just like any good O-line.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I think the RPO, any option really with Lamar Jackson is going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And now that he continues to, and I know we talked about it a little bit last year on the show, but as he continues to gain more experience, you can tell he's being smarter about when and how he runs the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when he does, it's an absolute weapon. Mm-hmm. Absolute weapon. And again,
he's amazing on just avoiding the big hit. I think that's one of his best assets. You know, he just lands always in a safe general spot where he's never taken the big hit.
And that's where somebody like Anthony Richardson needs to take heed of that. I'd like to say Josh Allen, but for some reason he just takes it and he's able to get up, but he definitely plays injured half the time because of he just lowers his shoulder as every opportunity he gets. Another guy, Jaden Daniels, you know, take a look at how Lamar Jackson plays for sure. If you're a dual threat quarterback, you have to protect your body. Look at RG3 years ago. You know, it's just it's part of it.
Yeah, Daniels would be the exact body type of this Lamar, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Lamar light, for sure.
Yep. So.
For sure. Well, where do the Ravens finish this year for you? Are they not only winning the division, are they going to be that 1-2 seed in the AFC for you?
The AFC North is always a tough division.
Full of great defenses.
Yeah. Yes. Great defenses. If Joe Burrow stays healthy, I think the Bengals will give the Ravens definitely a run for their money for winning the division. It'll probably be tough.
What about Cleveland? I mean, Cleveland's in there.
Deshaun Watson hasn't proven himself to be able to stay healthy enough.
What about that defense?
The defense is legit, and I totally get that. Like in the NFC North, those games, especially in the back half of the season when it's cold, the weather's just absolutely awful. Like you have to rely on the defense to win the game. So you're going to get 13-10 games or 10-7. It's going to be ugly, but those are amazing games for me to watch.
Sure. Speaking of the cold weather, again, another example where Derrick Henry could shine, you know, just run the rock. You know what I mean?
Agreed. And this is one of the divisions in the preseason we talked about is probably the toughest, if not the best.
Agreed.
All four teams were above 500, which rarely ever happens.
That's tough.
And that's with Cincinnati without Joe Burrow at full health. So that's a stacked division. So as a Ravens fan, you know, one key injury here or there.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be a change of the season.
So you talked about the Bengals. Did I miss it though? Where do you see them? What's their seeding as we head into the playoffs? I imagine you have them making the playoffs.
Yeah. So I'll still put Ravens 1, Bengals 2. I think Steelers are going to be 3 with Browns 4. Yeah.
Whoa.
Definitely I think all four teams are going to be above 500 again this year. And you'll probably see three teams from the North in the playoffs.
Wow. But you're thinking the Ravens are going to be the top one though.
In the division. Yeah. Probably the way the schedule shakes out, they might probably get first more than likely second seed.
Okay. Hey, fair enough.
Calling my shot right now.
Your shot right now. I have him up there. Take it down. Take it to the bank. Or around here, you take that thing to what? Diamond Joe's in Iowa?
Yes. Well, not quite. Just get close enough to the border where you can pick it up.
Right. True.
Not letting any secrets out there.
Sure. With that, obviously, this is where we normally recap those games. Nothing to recap. Jake gave us an excellent outlook of how the Ravens season is going to work this year, according to him. Classic armchair GM, just like the rest of us. With that, let's head right into Tent Talk. And starting off the tent talk for us, 49ers receiver Ricky Pearsall released from the hospital after being shot in the chest during a robbery attempt out in the open. I think it's called Union Square or something like that where it took place.
Middle of the day.
It was like 3 p.m. And he wasn't targeted because he's a 49ers player. It was just a random robbery attempt. I guess they struggled for the weapon. Ended up getting the robbery suspect with his own weapon. Mm-hmm. So they did arrest the guy. Pearsall's out of the hospital, but just before we started recording, I did look up, he is on the non-football injury list, so he will miss the first four games of the season. Is that a big loss to the 49ers? We probably don't know yet because they don't really know fully what they have in them, but you know, you draft a guy for a reason.
Yeah,
glad he's okay.
Yeah, I heard it was over a Rolex the middle of the day, and then I did see some video of him walking himself to the ambulance. So
he was all right.
So in that aspect,
Sorry.
No, I totally lost what I was saying.
My bad.
No, you're good.
I'm just over here, you know, distracting you, but according to his mother.
So, but where was he in the depth chart of them? Was he three or four?
So he's probably going to be three because he's going to be behind Debo and Brandon Ayuk. Spoiler alert, we'll have conversations about that, I believe, a little bit later on.
Yep. And in the offense, how many, do they run three sets, wide receivers a lot? Or it's is it more two tight end?
It depends where Debo's lined up. Debo, you can line up anywhere. You got George Kittle. It's
and then
the fullback. Juszczyk.
You can use him almost any position too.
Yeah, so. he's a true fullback. But I mean, you could definitely put him in the tight end slot.
The H back.
That's what I mean. But that's where Debo lives. You know, a little bit. Debo will be in the backfield. So it's hard to say if they have a true, you know, three receiver set. But
I would
imagine he'd be on the field.
If you look at his tape out of college, when I see it, I think like he's like a mini Debo. Like you're gonna end up like doing the end arounds, sweeps, reverses, whatever. You're just gonna want to get the ball in his hands. He's just gonna make plays. Yep. He's got amazing hands too. So
for sure, Where was he out of again? Florida.
Florida. He looked pretty cut. We want to walk into the ambulance. I was like, you really wanted to pick on that guy?
Well, so do I, but it doesn't mean I'm good at football.
Fair.
Anyway, moving on. AJ Dillon done for the season. Something in his neck. Whatever. It was the Packers' number two punch. Probably gonna have another decent 1-2 with who's there, Josh Jacobs, but nothing. I don't really have anything to go on for AJ Dillon. Another hard guy to tackle.
Yeah, I didn't think he was gonna contribute much. When's the last time he's been really effective for the Packers over the last 2-3 years?
So like the end of 2022, I thought he came on really strong again, just like a winter running backs.
Yeah, that huge late playoff push. Yeah, I feel like he made his name.
Battering ram, you're not going to want to tackle him when it's like 10 degrees out. No.
But without Aaron Jones, it's just like he's definitely a good number two to a good number one, right. I think. Like that's definitely is like the more thunder lightning feel to it, and he's definitely the thunder part of that. But just, I think he took a step backwards last season when he did get those opportunities. So maybe it's a good thing. Maybe he gets a year off, get back to health, get back to doing what he knows how to do. What is he out of again? Wasn't he out of Georgia or something?
Boston College.
Boston College.
There it is.
Boston College. Jake.
I actually didn't know that. You got me on one.
That's what I mean. I thought he was SEC for sure, but all good. Odell Beckham.
Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr. also to miss the first four games of the season. I don't think a huge surprise there. He's just whatever. When he's in, he can contribute and at least draw a little bit of coverage to him. Still a pretty good route runner, but not to start 2024.
Yeah, he's a certified three, I think, at this point.
Yeah, especially on the Dolphins roster. Yeah, he's gonna be your three, and I don't think they're gonna miss him.
No,
like right out
probably
of the gates,
because they're probably a speed offense, and he's not really
doesn't have speed, but he'd be a good safety blanket down low. He's your check down guy now. That's the part he's at in his career.
Good third down, solid hands. I mean, in college, if you watch some of his tape, it was absolutely ridiculous what he did in college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And staying with the Dolphins, actually, on the defensive side of the ball, Jalen Phillips will be back from his Achilles that he tore last year around, like, I think it was Thanksgiving, something like that. He had 6.5 sacks in 8 games. Not bad. I mean, you got to have a guy like that. But, again, recovering from an Achilles, that's tough. No matter what position you play, I'd imagine. I've never torn an Achilles, but.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as he went down last year, that Dolphins team changed. That's when I feel like they started not being the dominant team. Because didn't they start off 8-1 last year?
I think so.
And then a little bit after that, their defense, they had no one else to get at the ball. So if he's somewhat back to it, I think that's going to be a huge, advantage for that team.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure.
Any injuries that you guys can think of off the top of your head that I'm missing? Any Ravens I didn't mention that might be out other than the honorable mention of Rashad Bateman? We love Bateman here in Minnesota, but brother, you got to stay healthy.
Yeah,
he knows
please.
It. We don't need to tell him. I think he could still be a great player, but
just kind of on the wait for Keaton Mitchell to get back and healthy. He's still going to be out the first couple of weeks, but he's going to be Derrick Henry's like number two, which
sure.
And those three or four games where he really shined last year, you saw the potential in for what sure. he can actually bring to the table as your third down back or your change of pace guy. So definitely looking forward to seeing him back in the.
And with Derrick Henry, again, just another great option to have. Yep. I know for us, we're still going to be missing TJ till probably bye week.
At least bye week, yeah.
So,
and no more J.K. Dobbins for you guys.
I mean, that's
3 years of injuries I think you had with him.
Which is unfortunate. It was. He had a ridiculous amount of potential and was a beast at Ohio State.
Absolutely. He had so much potential. I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do. And then, three bad breaks in 4 years. Yep.
Now he's with the Chargers, I believe.
Yep.
So he'll have another attempt. So the talent's there.
It's
so
a good fit for him.
Yeah, the league recognizes him.
It's a good fit for him.
Yeah, and then you got Gus, too. You got two Ravens.
Former Ravens just filling up the running back room out there in L.A.
But I'll add this to the injury part. It's not an injury, but it's just Trent Williamson. Unhappy, probably going to miss time. I just read on a couple hours ago with his contract. He's holding out game one.
Whoa.
Oh, he's doing it again, huh?
So
really? Yeah.
That is a injury to the overall team's ability to play ball.
Interesting.
So
really, Trent Williamson.
Yep.
Is it just Williams or
I think it's just Williams.
Trent Williams. The left tackle, right?
Yep. The left tackle,
the best one in the game.
Yep.
Wow. Interesting. He's on the last year of his deal.
No, I think he had two left.
And he's unhappy. He just
I think he wanted to restructure
after Darisaw signed.
Yep. When money moves, ego wants to go with it.
No, I get you. Well,
he earned it, too. So
he's still the best left tackle in the game, in my GM armchair opinion. Staying with potential signings or not signings. CeeDee Lamb finally getting signed. Jerry Jones did finally make that a priority. 4 year, $136 million deal. How do we feel about that? I feel like you have to.
Had to be done.
Gotta pay the guy.
Yeah. I feel like you have to. He's arguably top five receiver in the league right now?
For sure he is. Yeah. And right now that team, they don't have anything else for weapons. They need him. I mean, you have Ferguson, who's a nice little player.
He's a nice piece.
You have Braylon Cooks, 31. You can't depend on him to be a one. And then the running back spot isn't. Still in question.
You got two old vets back there, essentially. Yeah. I say old vet, and I'm the exact same age as Dalvin Cook. But you got two old vets back there for NFL age, especially for running back age. It's a good opportunity for Dallas with Dalvin. You know, I'd start him and then have Zeke kind of come in for your goal line or anything within, the 15-yard line. But, Dallas is going to be tough. And staying on Dallas really quick. Dak Prescott does not have a new deal. He's entering the final year of his contract, same as head coach Mike McCarthy. And Jerry Jones has also kind of said, hey, it's more about where we're at as a team and a situation than what Dak has brought to us. Is that foretelling that this is Dak's last season in Dallas?
I don't think it'll be Dak's last season in Dallas. Because if you look at if you're trying to look ahead to next year already, the caliber of quarterbacks in college football that are going to be eligible to draft is not like it was this past year.
I would agree with that.
And so you missed out on a great opportunity. Now, granted, things will probably change over the next couple of months and somebody might just come out of nowhere like Jaden Daniels did. And then even just NFL free agency, I don't think you're going to see the caliber of quarterbacks that are going to be out there available.
I'm going to throw some at you and see if it sticks. Does Dallas go with a Shedeur Sanders next year?
Are they going to be high enough in the draft, though? Because I think with that team, I mean, you projected them to win the division.
I think I did predict them to win the division.
So that means they're in the late 20s getting a draft pick, and Sanders is not going anywhere near the
probably
20.
Top 10.
If the hype with Shedeur is what it is, there's no way that Dallas is going to land him unless they decide to trade a gang of picks.
Yeah.
How often is there a sign and then trade in the NFL? I feel like that doesn't happen as often as other sports. Could they sign Dak and then trade him to trade up to get a Shedeur?
Yeah, I don't think
I don't think it's ever been a thing with the quarterbacks. So why would you?
I don't think so either. It's kind of here's a deal. Slap in the face. You're gone. Now we're going to go get our guy.
Because I think a lot of it, you end up seeing the other team already will have conversations behind the scenes with their agent.
Absolutely.
We'll do this trade, and then this is what our deal is going to be. Do they want to actually move forward with that? Because Dak's got the no trade clause.
Yep.
And a no franchise tag clause. So if he doesn't get re-signed, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah. How old is he now? 30.
Gotta be pushing it.
He's not that old.
He's
under 35.
He's like 30. I think he'd be a good option for most teams in the league. I think it would be. I think it is interesting that Mike McCarthy's entering his last year of his deal. I just think it gives Jerry Jones and the Cowboys an out if they have a bad season. Okay, no more Mike McCarthy. Okay, Dak's gone. We're going to restart. We still have CD Lamb. You know what I mean? I think the Cowboys are setting up for an out just in case I'm completely wrong and they do not win the division. I think if they win the division and even, and like, if they can get to the NFC Championship game, I think they re-sign Dak no matter what. But if not, I don't know. He's 31 years
31,
old.
31, yeah.
So he could garner another 3-year deal.
For sure.
But I think
he can.
That's all like the Cowboys would be willing to like put into him is just like 3 years. I don't know if they go past that or do you think they lock him up?
I think Jerry's really playing with fire here. If the idea is to try and like save as much money as you possibly can, because you still have the other side of the ball that you have to worry about.
100%.
With Micah Parsons?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So the question then is it's a game of chicken, right? So who's going to blink first here? Is it going to be Dak where Dak's like, I need a new contract and I don't want to get hurt and get screwed out of a whole bunch of money? Because we've seen that happen before to players on the last year of their contract. And then also, whereas Jerry Jones is probably trying to save as much money as possible. But if Dak lights it up again this year, Dak's going to be like, hey, I wanted $60 million. Maybe I'm worth 65 now. You just lost some cap.
Foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. It's tough. I'm glad it's not my decision. Are you grinding gears over there?
I'm just kind of looking at the rest of their roster and seeing who's free agents. Kind of anything big other than DeMarcus Lawrence, Zach Martin. Those are probably the biggest two that I see.
Zach Martin's not going to be cheap either.
Yeah. So, maybe they're really in love with Trey Lance and then they're moving on.
That's not it. We'll move on. That's definitely not the case. Did you see the video of Trey Lance in camp? He's out here staring down the slot receiver and then, nickel corner, whatever. Yeah. Somebody comes up and is just standing there and he's still staring down the defense and throws it right at him. I'm like, oh my God. I can't believe I wanted the kid here.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, move on. Brandon Ayuk stays in the Bay for a year, $120 million extension after we thought that he was maybe going to get traded to the Steelers, which they desperately need some help at receiver a little bit, and then sign there. Does not. He stays with San Francisco. Is it worth all that money for San Francisco? You know, when you have everything else in place right now, when does Brock Purdy, when is he due to get a contract? Is it within those 4 years? I should have looked that up. I did not.
I think they got another year or two
before Brock would be getting a deal.
I think Purdy is under
this is his third year, I believe.
Contractual, so before then, he can get anything.
Yeah, fourth year. But they'll want to, that'll be an interesting question then next year is he the quarterback franchise money that they want to pay him?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or do they kind of give him that Jordan Love, middle of the money, kind of prove it again one more year?
See, and that's more where I lean. But at the same time, he keeps proving everybody wrong. And maybe we just keep viewing him that way because he's Mr. Irrelevant, but.
True. Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like the same way we view Trevor Lawrence, right? We keep giving that guy chances. Now he looked better last year.
Yep.
But we kept giving him chances, his first 3-4 years, whatever it may be, and he was not looking that awesome. But because he was that first-round pick and, all the talent in the world coming into the league for the last, for the 4 years before he even entered the league. Same thing with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do those guys get looked at differently because of their first-rounders?
Yeah. I mean, if Purdy was a first-round draft pick, would we even be talking about
this? Isn't a conversation.
It's not even a conversation.
I agree.
So it's just the perception where he was drafted is, what's dragging us down,
Sure. But no, I think it's a great, great job for the 49ers way to keep Brandon Ayuk. He's kind of an under-the-radar guy when everybody's worried about Kittle and Debo and CMC and Purdy himself, And now you got Brandon Ayuk still running routes out there.
Yeah. I think, for them, it's keeping the band together. Like, they're a Super Bowl contender.
They're right there.
They're putting whatever they can to keep that, the team together.
They're windows now.
It is now.
They're windows now.
So. Devil's advocate here.
Uh-oh.
I like it.
I think Brandon Ayuk is overpaid.
I would agree with you on that.
I mean, I think so too. That's what I mean. That's why I was curious to bring it up. I think he's still, it's still a great addition to to keep him there.
To keep, absolutely. But
it is a lot of money.
It is.
And when at that rate, absolutely. Because when you're thinking about the skill players, Brandon Ayuk is not like one or two. He's fourth. He's fourth on your list. You're like, correct. I got to worry about CMC. Mm-hmm. I got to worry about Debo. I got to worry about Kittle. And now Brandon Ayuk.
And now you're paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year. What does JJ get? 35?
Yep.
35 a year?
Yeah, because then CD was, what, 34? Is that what
he's like
average?
Right underneath.
Yeah. Right underneath
he's
that
like
average.
Right underneath JJ, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great point.
I think he's a little bit. I actually put him above Kittle in overall aspect
absolutely
of target,
not.
In my opinion.
But, yeah.
I think Kittle's just. He's still a great player, but I think he's taken a quarter step back. You know, sure. He'd blow
he was
up in
the
games
last year.
You know, he had a three touchdown. Like if you watch receiver, like he won games where he'd catch three passes for 24 yards.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So, but I mean, all players good end point. Up doing it at some aspect. But if I was in fantasy reasons, I would definitely Kittle's drop down on my list of he's out of the top 10.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Moving right along, Stephon Gilmore comes to the Vikes for a one-year, $10 million deal. They have the money. Blackman's done for the year. I think it's a great move to bring in a veteran presence into that younger cornerback room.
I would agree. And then as a Ravens fan, I'm going to throw that.
Full of veterans.
Yeah. Well, you went against him as when he was at the Colts.
Yeah.
Was he a game changer for the Colts against in a lot of the Raven games he played?
So, yeah. Even when you watched him play in Dallas, too. Even with Trevon Diggs when he was out, mm-hmm. still a really good corner. Definitely makes you think about throwing at him. Sure. The veteran presence there, I think it'll be good because I think your Vikings front seven is super young, and they need some veteran presence on the back end.
It's nothing but vets now on the back end. Even Andrew Bynum now. You got Andrew Bynum, Harrison Smith, and then your corners are. Byron Murphy, Shaq Griffin, and Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
Veteran. And then, Duke Shelley got cut.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
sorry,
but
Duke.
The rest of them are all young.
I want you back.
The rest of them are all young,
yeah.
Are the guys I'm talking about. But
I hear you.
I hope Blackman stays in the building. I'd imagine they do. I don't know how that works for season-ending injuries or whatnot, but I feel like they can.
He was great depth. Overall, we needed one more corner.
Great signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel a lot more comfortable with him on the roster than where we're at going into the season.
Absolutely. Even as a half Packer fan, I think the Packers should be concerned about the Vikings secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best bet.
Even with the Packer depth at wide receiver.
Yeah. And I like the Packers wide receivers, actually, other than Christian Watson. I'm done with him.
You're done with him.
I'm done with Christian Watson. But real quick, and then we'll move on from the Vikings. But I do think that it does make them question things. Now, I do think the Packers receiver core is a little bit quicker. Faster than what we got going on. And all you got to do to beat the Vikings right now, I love Harrison Smith. He embodies what it means to be a Minnesota Viking. He's going to retire as a Viking, but he's burnt toast, my man. Like, towards the end of last season, you're seeing it. You know, he's kind of looking like, not to hate on Bradbury for the Eagles. You know, he's just starting to look burnt toast a little bit. Darius Slay towards the end of the season, you know, just... He's getting burnt.
Did Bradbury get hurt? He's out. What corner? There was a corner for the Eagles that... Just got hurt
last week.
I think it was Bradbury.
Was it?
I feel like it was. I'll look it up while you talk. But
yeah. Moving on from the Vikes again. Dalvin Cook, one-year deal in Dallas. We kind of already mentioned that. Not a ton to talk about there. Dallas needs some help in the backfield. They got it. If he can stay healthy, I think he does make a difference there for that offense. But it's the health factor at this point. And he didn't play much last year. So.
Well, he was on a bad Jets team.
He was. But he also didn't. They just, I don't know. There's a reason why he's bouncing around now. You know what I mean?
True.
Giants re-sign Adoree Jackson to a one-year deal. They really needed to get that deal done. Just helps not solidify their defense, but absolutely makes them feel a little bit better about their secondary, I'd imagine.
They did, because they lost McKinley to the Packers, mm-hmm. The safety.
That sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was the key signing for them. They needed that.
For sure. Juju Smith-Schuster to the Chiefs. I did not see if he was going to end up playing for week one.
I wouldn't be surprised if
he does. I'd imagine he does, but it's going to be probably a lower role for week one at least. Or do you think because he's played there before, that helps accelerate that process?
I think because he's played there before, it's going to accelerate things. He already has a little bit of chemistry with Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Yep, and he has some familiarity with the system and everything. That 1 year, even though he then went to New England, yep, and then kind of like
that didn't work. Right.
No,
I think he's another great third down option.
Yep.
Another guy that can, he's not going to like necessarily stretch the field at this point, but if you're looking for a guy to get you a first down and run a good route, I think he's still a good option.
And
Kelsey's getting older.
Right. You know. I think it helps kind of take some of the attention off of Kelsey though.
Yeah, it's going to open him up, yep, a little bit more, for mm-hmm sure.
Well, they have Rice and then the rookie.
Well, if he plays in the first week, yeah.
The receiver, Rice?
Yeah.
Rashid, how long is he out for?
He's about to get suspended.
That's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, there was a traffic...
another car thing. Oh, it's a car accident.
We'll talk about in the bonehead of the week.
And then finally, our last like signing, I didn't have details on the Juju deal, but our final re-sign, Mike McDaniel getting a 3-year extension. So now he's good through the 2028 season. That was a must. You absolutely have to do that if you're Miami. He's shown you no reason not to. Mm-hmm. He's keeping the Dolphins relevant. I think they're still an option as a lower tier contender, I'm going to call them. Sure. I think there's two tiers of contenders. Those, yes, for sure, right? Like the Chiefs, I still think are a contender for me. And then there's like the lower tier contenders that I kind of put the Dolphins into. I think they can.
Is Tua becoming the Kirk Cousins? Can't win a playoff game?
Kirk Cousins, the Dak Prescott, where he's always good enough, but not good enough to get to that next
good numbers next regular season.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think you're hitting that right.
I don't personally, but as a Dolphins fan,
I think they have those feelings.
It's an interesting situation because the first couple of years before Daniels got there, they were looking to go elsewhere.
They were. Who's not going to watch our podcast now? Tua.
Oh,
good job.
I still like Tua.
Unbelievable.
I'm sure he'll watch it.
I liked him in Alabama, and I hate Alabama.
So, about my McDaniel, and I agree with you. It's a really good signing. The Dolphins needed to do it. It goes to show you the mentality of the NFL players now is a lot different than it was like 10, 20 years ago.
Well, and we even talk about the Mike Zimmer thing off air. We talked about the Mike Zimmer thing and how he was saying he didn't want... He's coaching again because he doesn't want it to seem like he was a bad coach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he just didn't know how to connect with the players of today. And maybe that's what he spent the last, 4 years doing and relearning. I know he was an analyst somewhere, whatever. But I think you're right. I think Mike McDaniel's kind of,
He understands the...
He knows
the player.
What the players need nowadays.
He's player's coach.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
But I think most coaches, like you're saying in the NFL, it's
going that direction.
How you discipline or mm-hmm. corrective actions towards younger individuals these times is just different versus how it was in the past.
Yeah,
and I think he relates, and it's a great signing for them.
For sure, 100%. Any other surprising signings? Did you end up finding the little thing you were looking?
Oh yeah, I was gonna bring it up when we talk about the Eagles game, but yeah, Bradbury's injured reserve.
Uh-oh. So yes.
IR.
Are we previewing Eagles? Yes, we are. We'll talk about that then. Let's head into... We just got a couple little tidbits of news, as we'd like to call it.
News.
Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, all named starters in that list. As you saw, Drake May is not included in that. Who is it? Jacoby Brissett, I believe, is getting the start in New England. And then Russell Wilson getting to start over Justin Fields in Pittsburgh. We kind of all knew Jaden Daniels would start, Caleb Williams would start, Bo Nix. So the weird thing about Bo Nix, really quick, something I read. So Bo Nix is starting, obviously. The backup, I can't remember who his direct backup
starts
is.
Starts with
S. Is it Stidham or something?
Yep.
Heath Stidham himself thinks that he can be a starter in the league. And then the GM for the Broncos came out and said that he thinks Zach Wilson can be a starter in the league. So they got three starters in Denver.
Yeah. So they're Super set. Bowl pretty much, right?
Yeah, they're set. I just thought it was funny. I was like, so we're getting three different stories here. We know Bo Nix is starting and that's cool. Personally, I would have taken Zach Wilson here as a backup. Maybe I think he could still start somewhere. I don't think it'll be in Denver. I think Bo Nix does look pretty solid right now. Yeah, had a great preseason.
Yeah, I think, and he's, you know, walked in a perfect situation with Sean Payton as offensive minded.
For sure.
He's an older rookie quarterback, so he's got a ton of balls. He's played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. So he can move a little bit. He's just got to work on a few things, I think, overall in NFL versus college. He had more of a really quick throwing offense in Oregon. Yep. You know, so it's just a little bit of a different game, but hey, as a Denver fan, I'd feel a little more comfortable going in this year than Russell Wilson.
Right, right. How do you feel about facing Russell Wilson in your division? Scared at all? Doesn't scare you at all?
It's a little scary. If you think about, he still throws a really good deep ball, and you got Pickens out there.
He's crazy fast.
Yeah, yeah, crazy fast, great hands.
That's about it.
Yep.
That's about it.
They have Arthur Smith, their new offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Former Falcons head coach. I think you're going to see a lot of play action because that's what he ran in Tennessee with Derrick Henry and Ryan Wilson's Tannehill.
A solid play action quarterback.
Absolutely. So I think that I think that plays to Russell Wilson's skill set.
Sure. Sure. How do you feel about Russell
Wilson? I'm down on Russell. I just feel like ever since Seattle, he's lost a half a step, and he was kind of that improviser quarterback that he relied on it and kind of extended a plays, and then it hit that deep route, you know, after it. It's that 1-2-3 set. Don't like my second read. Is he does he escape, take his eyes down and move, or is he actually going to deliver the ball? And he needs to continue doing that.
And I know you're also down on Justin Fields, I'm pretty certain, but how do you feel about, like, do you think the Steelers actually want Justin Fields at all? Like, or do you think they just, I don't know, made a trade to appease their fans? Like, hey, we got a backup to Russell Wilson type deal. Like,
they got him cheap, and he's still a top 40 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. I think there's still that potential there. I personally like Justin Fields, but
I'm not like Courtney. I think I brought QB1 back in high school. Yeah, I'm out on Justin Fields.
You're out on him when he was an 18-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, I was out then, too.
Got it. Yep, right. Yep. Jamar Chase still looking for a new deal. He's been holding out. Even if it's one penny better than Jay Jettas, he's happy. I feel like it's a no-brainer for the Bengals who have, you know, Joe Burrow locked up. You got to give him his number one option. I think you have to pay Jamar Chase. But is he worth the 35 mil and one penny a year?
What do you think, Ravens fan? Do you want to see him play this year?
Of course I don't want to see him play this year. Yeah. He's worth every penny. So you gotta pay the man his money. He's earned it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him, but yeah.
I agree, but he's kind of like with JJ. Like, they weren't on their final year. They still had 2 years left on their contract. And it's not only usually quarterbacks typically got that money early.
Yeah, but that's changing now.
It does, but it's Bengals ownership, it hasn't changed. So that's the difference. They play a little more hardball with their money.
Didn't Justin play through his fourth year before re-signing or getting his extension?
I thought Jay Jettas was heading into his final year this year.
This year.
Yeah, this season.
But they talked about his contract last year and trying to get a deal done, too.
He didn't hold out last year, but it was a big news thing, and then the season hit, and then it went quiet. Yeah. There's nothing
Jamar Chase, continue to hold out, please.
Yeah.
I think he should get paid. He's top 5, top 10, top 8.
He's top 3 for me.
Top 3. You know, with Joe Burrow throwing the ball.
Yeah.
But is it that they have probably the second receiver in the NFL with T. Higgins? Does that make him hold up a little bit?
And now T. Higgins got a new deal, didn't he, this offseason? I don't think they wanted him to franchise tag. He didn't. And then I think they got him a new deal. I can't remember.
So,
but I know he was going into the last year, too, and they were like, well, we can't keep both. So that's probably where they're at.
So maybe they're just going to sit out a year on it and hold off for it just because they don't have that money available.
Yeah, and then they'll just pay more for him next year.
True. But
he did sign a 1-year deal. That does sound like the franchise tag to me because it's a 1-year deal, $21 million contract. Yeah, that
sounds about league average.
That's what I mean. It sounds like a franchise tag deal. Just a quick little search because I can't remember. But maybe who is named team's designated franchise player. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Hassan Reddick after getting traded to the Jets is still holding out. It's a little scary for the Jets. I mean, a guy who you're bringing in to rush the quarterback, something you desperately need on that defense, and now he's holding out. We were talking about it off air, about you'd think you'd make that trade with that deal already in place or something already in mind. There wasn't. The GM isn't concerned, I guess. He still thinks he's going to show up. So does Sala. Is that how you say his name? Head coach for the Jets?
Sala.
Robert Sala. I'm going to call him Robert. That's easier. Robert. According to them, they still think he's going to show up, and Robert thinks he's going to be ready, you know, game ready enough for week one and that he'd play.
Yeah, and you add him to that defense, what I think I was considering already top five already in the NFL.
Yeah, you know? You had him very high.
And you're saying it was very, it's just odd that they made the trade and they're not, no deal was in place or, you know, or just something else go wrong that we don't know about. You know, it's just a goofy, weird story.
Yeah.
This, the latest here says, New York Jets reporters hint that Hassan Reddick holdout will end in the next 48 hours. And that was yesterday. So I guess to be seen. To be seen. Real quick, not even really worth mentioning, Kadarius Toney has been waived again.
Is that your old boy or what?
He's just fast. I don't know. I don't know why I even have him on there. I don't know. Somebody will pick him up, whatever.
No, they won't if they're smart.
Real quick, last news thing, and this will have to be real quick because we got to keep it moving here, but flag football is set to make its Olympic debut in 2028. Should NFL players be allowed to participate? I know that quarterback or whatever for the team is like, no, you know, I'm just as good as Mahomes type deal, blah, blah, blah. Should NFL players even participate? Should teams write it into their contract that they cannot so they don't risk tearing an ACL or something insane? You know what I mean? Is it legal to write that into a contract? I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you, but
it's such a conflict of interest, I think. And at the money level, I don't know that if they would participate in. I just don't foresee it happening with NFL players.
I don't know.
Would I like to see it? Yes. Yeah, but
absolutely.
That's what I mean. But like, do you think teams will have to be like, hey, Jamar Chase, here's this nice fancy $35 million and one penny deal. But you are not playing in the Olympics in 2028, big dog. Like, we are not having you tear an ACL out there. Can you even do that?
I don't know.
Well, I think they write stuff into contracts. I think about like Ben Roethlisberger. He had things written into his contract where he's not supposed to be riding motorcycles and stuff like that.
Or at nightclubs.
Yeah. And what'd he do? He rode a motorcycle, got into an accident, almost died. So,
True. Interesting.
Yeah. They write those kinds of things in there.
I think but if they write it in there, it's just like, and nothing happens, right? So they don't get injured and everything goes well.
Yeah. Like no extracurricular.
And
they win a gold
medal and crap. Does the team just find them then? Can a team find a player or does it come from the league only?
That's really interesting. I mean? Yeah,
because like, we told you no, you did it anyway. Now you lose money.
I think the NFL would be wanting the players
for sure for marketing. So.
Yeah, for marketing. 100%.
More global.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's an interesting take.
But is that where teams now and owners come back and they're like,
because then you're fighting against the shield.
No,
well, the NBA does.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You think about the NBA does it, the Dream Team, or even now,
right?
Like a lot of the national teams like Canada's team, Serbia, Spain, they have a lot of professional NBA players.
NBA plays at the national level. NHL plays at the national level. Yeah. MLB, when the World Baseball Classic comes around, they all play for their country. Yeah. So it's tough. It's tough. And then the other argument from the flag football players is like, no, we busted ourselves to get to this level to be able to make this an Olympic sport. And now you guys are just going to come in and take it from us. An interesting argument too. I get that feeling, but then it's like, well, then be better, right? But
yeah,
you're not better than Patrick Mahomes. That's the thing.
But has any NFL players actually came out and said, "Yeah, I'm on in"?
I don't think so.
I never heard that. I don't think there's really an interest, and that's why I don't think that they will participate at all.
Just not even a question for you.
I think they just get too much money now.
Knowing that could be taken away from you if you got injured at the Olympics, is it worth it?
Like, and is flag football really football? You know, like if all the other sports,
a different conversation.
You know, so I don't think that, you know, Jamar Chase is going to be like, oh yes, I need to go play for my country
for
flag
sure.
football.
For sure, for sure. With that ends our news, and we'll head right into bonehead move of the week.
Genius!
And for the first bonehead move of the week of the season, kind of, we're bringing back Jordan Addison from the preseason, but we'll add Rashee Rice in there too. Receivers fast on and off the field. So, again, these young receivers, specifically this season anyway, but these young players coming into the league, getting that fat stack of cash or first payment, go out and buy a fast car, I'd do the same thing.
Sign me up.
But then it's like we still got to, you know, follow the law. Got to be careful. Or we're going to get in trouble. So, first bonehead of the year is kind of just our young receivers here making bad decisions in fast cars. And then I also thought it was kind of funny, not really a bonehead move by the Chargers players or by anybody. It's just kind of a malfunction, but Chargers players stuck in an elevator for a hot minute. Did you guys hear about that one?
I did not.
Yeah, there's including Justin Herbert was among them, but a group of players and staff or whatever stuck in an elevator for a little while.
Oh, hopefully he wasn't kicking was the door there, Justin. We need that foot.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, which is healthy. He should be ready to go.
Yes.
But any comments on more so the receivers, but these younger players getting the money and then just making bad decisions with them right away? I mean, it's you'd think that the NFL would have people in place, and maybe they do, to talk to these guys about taking care of their money right off the rip, because it's probably the most money they've ever seen, be the most money I've ever seen. I know that for a fact. But you just it's just decision-making. Decision-making. You can lose it all. We saw it with Henry Ruggs,
yeah.
You know, as an example. And I hate to, you know, bring that up. I know he feels like crap about it, but, I mean, it's an example.
You know, speed kills. That's all I'm going to say.
Speed kills. Yeah, it does. You know? It does. It does. So, hopefully we have no more car incidents on our bonehead of the week for the rest of the season, but that will be it. For week one.
Yeah. I prefer like drink skin thrown on people. That sounds like a little
more. By David Tepper.
Yeah, there we go.
Classic, right? He was a bonehead player of the year last year. So for Banner with the Boys. So.
HOF.
See if he makes it again two times. He's going for two-time bonehead move of the year. But Kev, let's head right into that next week's five-game slate. And, of course, the first game on the slate is going to be the Vikings at the New York Giants.
Yeah, buddy, I'm ready.
You ready?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm so excited. Football's here. This is the best time of the year right here.
I'm very nervous.
You're nervous?
Very nervous.
You have no reason to be nervous.
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. We've already lost to this Giants team in the playoffs. However, I'm nervous more so about who we have starting at quarterback. I do think Sam Darnold will have a pretty good year. I think he can have a top 15 season in the league. I think there's weapons for him on offense. It's just a matter of getting him in a real regular season game in KOC system and let him buck. Let's see what happens. I think the defense is going to rebound nice for us. And for the Giants, I mean, the best hope for them is that Danny Dimes comes out and throws some darts. But if I'm a Giants fan, I'm not taking the over on like 5 wins.
No, I'm not either. And when's the last time we see Danny Dimes play really good football against the Vikings? And, you know, that was almost 2 years ago.
Facts.
The running game's down. My worry, though, we don't have our complete set of weapons. And do I trust Sam Darnold if we get down by 10 early that we have to put all the weight on his shoulders to bring us back? Yes. So that's the question that needs to be answered for Vikings fans. You know, is Sam Darnold that guy?
I do. If Aaron Jones is healthy, yeah. I think Aaron Jones takes some weight off those shoulders.
So you would say Aaron Jones is the X factor then in the game?
I think for week one, yes. Until Darnold gets a little bit more comfortable, and we'd assume he's comfortable right now heading into week one, you'd like to assume that. But I think Aaron Jones will be the X factor for the Vikings offense specifically, but probably as the team as a whole. For how that game goes. But I'm going to take the Vikes.
I'll take the Vikes. I think Sam Darnold is going to be sneaky good.
Top 15.
At least out of week one.
You're putting a little...
I mean, everything changes over the course of the season,
That is
right?
true.
So nobody really knows what Sam Darnold is going to be, but he spent a year in San Francisco under Shanahan. Yeah. So sitting back and actually learning the position instead of like trial by fire in New York as a Jet in Carolina. And he had flashes of like really good stuff in Carolina before he got hurt 2 years ago. So I think he's going to be probably put more faith in him than you already are. Like he's, true. Yeah, he's, I think no, he's going to be better.
This is probably the best situation other than being a backup in San Francisco. Yep. This is the best situation he's had of his career.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to show that to us now, whether or not the Vikings end up going with JJ McCarthy next year or giving Darnold like that little 3-year deal for Geno Smith. Then what happens with JJ McCarthy, you know, there's a lot of factors, but we're just excited to get going. I'm not going to worry about that until like halfway through the season. And then maybe we'll think about it.
Yeah. Would you say if Sam did what Baker did in Tampa last year, it'd be a successful year?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it gets him a 3-year deal at least somewhere. Whether it's Minnesota or not, he gets him a 3-year deal somewhere. Yep.
And I like to your point when you were saying that he was with, in San Francisco last year, Baker was in LA the year before he went to Tampa. So he got a year under or some time under a offensive minded coach, build that confidence back up. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's our Baker this year.
Yeah. Well, let's hope for it. You taking the Vikes?
I'm taking the Vikes.
Skull, of course. The Vikings are only favorited by 1.5 right now today. Interesting.
But it's there. So typically you get 3 points as the home team. So Vegas is, I guess, would be looking at us as
4.5, essentially. Yeah, favorite. Fair enough. Yeah, good point. Moving right along. Keeping with tradition on Banner with the Boys, Gridiron Updates, we are going to talk about the Packers games every week. We have a lot of Packers fans around us. Ugh. So the Packers are traveling to Philly. That's a tough one.
No, it's in Brazil.
Brazil,
oh, sorry. That's right. Brazil. That's on Friday, right?
Friday night. Yeah. So that's going to be a full bars in Green Bay through Wisconsin on a Friday night.
Philly favorited by 3 at the moment. I'm taking the Packers on this, and I only say that because I think the Eagles will get better as the season goes on. I think the Packers are going to come out with some voodoo magic right off the bat. I don't know. I'm just feeling the Packers for some reason. I usually don't, so it's weird. Makes me feel weird. Definitely not warm and fuzzy.
Yep.
But what do you think the Packers will do down there in Brazil?
I think they'll lose, actually. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I don't know if I'm completely sold on Josh Jacobs.
Really?
They're being the total bell cow for them.
Like health-wise? Not
just health-wise. I don't know if they'll establish the running game consistently and give them enough touches to become fully established into the game.
But when they would give Jones touches last year, that's when they started winning, when Jones came back.
But you also added, when he came back, For sure. So, but before that, I don't know. He needs at least 25 touches. Then I think he's a whole different player.
Oh, snap. Yeah. He's got to have 25.
Yeah, catching and running the balls,
Oh, touches. Okay. Yeah, overall. Not rushes, but touches. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I feel like he's better when he's involved in the game more.
For sure.
Like most players are too, so.
Yeah.
But I just think, I think Philly's offense is, losing their center, but otherwise they got pretty much everybody back and they got Saquon Barkley.
They do, but I'm still thinking about last season and Philly's offense last year just didn't look the same to me. And again, I'm in the belief that Jalen Hurts played hurt all year, and there was nothing that ever came out about that. But ever since like week 2 or 3,
the Vikings, I think we got hurt. Yep.
He looked not right for the rest of the season.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm still riding that. I just don't think they're quite ready. I didn't watch any of their preseason other than the one we played, which doesn't really tell us anything about heading into week 1. So. Nope. I don't know. I'm just feeling the Packers on this. Jake, who do you got?
This one's tough. I think I'm going to take the Eagles, though. I think they have better weapons across the board. And the Packers defense is questionable at best, at least from last year. So with a new defensive coordinator, you don't know what you're going to see from them. So I know what I'm getting out of an Eagles defense.
I would see that's kind of the same. Point. Yeah,
but they are missing Bradbury, right?
They are missing Bradbury, and then I think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, absolutely,
it's going to be a shootout. So I think in the 30s, possibly
for both teams. You think
they're going to be touching it around it?
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that'll be fun. It's a Friday night game. It'll be exciting to watch. Let's talk about that. Your boys, the Ravens.
Here we go.
Traveling. The most exciting game of the week.
Kansas City to open the season in T-minus 3 days. Kansas City favorited by 3. Jake, we are absolutely starting with you, brother.
Gosh.
You're going Chiefs, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He thought about it, though. Yeah, he talked about it pre-show. He's not confident in his squad.
It's hard to pick against Patrick Mahomes. 100%.
It is. And Vegas.
Yeah. Well.
Screw him.
The house doesn't always win.
True.
I think we are going to see King Henry on full display. That was one of the things that Kansas City struggled with a lot of the season was stopping the run, and that's what the Ravens do best. That's what Detroit did really great last year, too. They ran the ball down their throats, and I expect to see the same thing. So I am going on the record. Sorry, Kansas City, you were going 0-2 in Super Bowl banner games.
Dang. Okay. Interesting. I think it's going to be a great game. Probably last year we had Banner of the Boys game of the week. I would probably safely say that this is Banner of the Boys game of the week for us.
I would say, and it's the opener. It doesn't get any much better than this.
Yeah. Good job, NFL schedulers. This is a good one.
Yeah, for sure. Rob, Ravens at Chiefs.
I mean, this is really, it's pretty much a toss up. But I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going with...
Whoa! Yeah.
Nice.
Whoa, going with the Ravens. Why? What are you seeing
same concept like Detroit last year. Established the run early season. Offense usually is in full clicking mood, you know? And Baltimore's defense with Hamilton on the backside, Smith, they're loaded. I think they're going to really bother Patrick Mahomes to start the first game off.
I think so, too. I know last year Detroit went into Kansas City, right? And
correct.
Won week one.
So this would be the same scenario.
I think this one's different. I think there's a different feel to this game. And I'm not saying, we know Detroit's been getting better, and so does everybody else in the NFL. So I'm not saying the Chiefs went into it thinking that they would roll over Detroit, but I think they were pretty confident that they would win. I think this one they know is going to be a battle.
Okay.
And I think Kansas City is more battle-tested than Baltimore, arguably. Baltimore's been in some tough games.
Against the Chiefs.
against the Chiefs, the Bill. I mean, everybody, man. But I'm going Kansas City. I think it's hard to go into Arrowhead and win. I think the Lions doing it last year was crazy. I mean, I was happy for the Lions. I'm not a fan of Kansas City. I don't hate the Ravens, but I got to go Kansas City here. Like you said, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a great game. I'm excited that we get to start the NFL season off with that on a Thursday night at 7:20.
I'm locally, just excited anyway. You're starting off 0-2.
That I'm starting off
0-2? Yeah, you know, your first two games you picked, you're going 0-2.
Well, so you're not counting the Vikings game? That doesn't count for
you?
Oh,
true, my bad.
So I'm 1-2, buddy, in your mind. I'm 3-0 in my mind. So that's cool. We'll move on. Our next game to watch... I'll let you say your line so I don't steal it. But the Jets at the 49ers.
Is Aaron Rodgers going to play more than 40 seconds again?
I'm going to hype myself up for this one, truly. I was really hyped for last year's game when he came out with the American flag, New York Jets. I'm like, oh, this is it's a new window. The Jets have a great defense. They're Super Bowl contenders, and that ended in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I have the same questions as last year. I'm curious what that Jets offense will look like with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. But no way in heck for me are they beating the 49ers. No way. And let me get you the spread here. This is a Monday night game at San Francisco. San Francisco is favorited by 3.5.
So that's the home, pretty much. So the Vegas is saying it's pretty much a draw.
This is San Francisco's window. They're going to... It could be a good game. I hope it's a good game. I hope Aaron Rodgers, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I hope Aaron Rodgers plays a great game. I want to see him do well in a different offense so he can prove to me that he's not no Tom Brady level where he's going to go and win the dang Super Bowl in his first year in the new team, but and essentially this is his first year, but Yeah, I'm going 49ers all day in their house.
I'm going 49ers with you. So, again, it's going to be another good game. I'm really interested in, I think, Breece Hall, whether he can establish the run against the 49ers. If they
it's
do
a tough
that,
defense to run on.
If they end up doing that, that's where I could see the Jets pulling out. But I just don't see it against the 49ers defense of them establishing enough of Breece Hall to take the win in San Francisco. It's not in San Francisco.
I think you both forget it how smart Aaron Rodgers is. Uh-oh. His ability to dissect Uh-oh. And interpret the defenses. Uh-oh. Close. I'm going to take Jets.
Okay.
Jets.
Can't let it go, huh?
No, Breece Hall was really good last year, even with bad quarterback mm-hmm. play. So was their wide receiver.
Garrett Wilson?
Yeah. So now if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy or is healthy for the game, I think Aaron Rodgers is the difference maker there.
Interesting.
It's not going to be a matter of Shanahan versus Saleh, who's gonna outplay who offensive X's and O's. I think it's going to come down to Aaron Rodgers.
Fair enough. I think so too.
I think it's going to be the opposite versus those two coaches. I think it's the 49ers defense versus the offense of the Jets. You know, whether their line can hold up is the reason why I picked the 49ers versus the Jets, because the last year that was the issue. They addressed a little bit this mm-hmm. year, but we still haven't seen it with Rodgers behind. So that's my biggest concern, where the Jets line.
And we still have a week. They play in a week. There is still a week for the Jets to go out and get Davante Adams. Ooh. They still have a week to do it.
You really want that to happen, don't you?
No.
There's no way the Raiders are trading him.
If it did, it'd be crazy. Poor fella. So let's move on to Steelers at Falcons. We were kind of torn. We had another game up there between a couple young quarterbacks. But this one we felt, since the Steelers have a new quarterback, the Falcons have a new quarterback, two, I guess you could say, established veteran quarterbacks in the league. We figured it was an interesting matchup. Jake actually decided between the two games for us. So, Jake, I'll let you start it off. Who's got it between the Steelers and Falcons in Atlanta?
I'm going to take Steelers over Falcons.
Interesting.
Steeler defense, I know what I'm getting out of them. TJ Watt's going to be a train wreck.
Is he healthy, ready to go for week one?
He doesn't have to be healthy to get like two sacks and eight hurries and anything else.
Just shows up and just sacking quarterbacks. I like it.
Yep, absolute motor.
I think he's healthy. He's waiting for his first child to come out. So,
who do you think the difference maker in that game is then?
I think it's your running backs. I think it's going to be Najee Harris and Bijan Robinson.
I like that matchup. Mm-hmm. I like that matchup. Yeah.
Who's gonna get more touches? Last year, everybody was like pounding the table that Bijan needed more touches and he wasn't getting him.
I would agree. He needed more touches.
So, are the Falcons with new head coach, new offensive coordinator? Are they going to actually do that? Kirk Cousins is gonna.
You know what you're getting with Kirk.
Yeah.
As well. You know, you might get two tuds. You might get a pick, but you're probably getting two tuds and two.
And it's not a primetime game, so he's not gonna choke.
Nah, that's garbage. That's out the door now. He's broken that spell. Oh my God! But you're going Steelers though.
Yep,
huh?
Going Steelers
with your AFC North. Hey,
look
experience.
At that. All visiting teams.
Look at you.
You are doing all visiting teams. That's interesting. That is interesting. Not gonna happen. But.
I would agree that's not going to happen. I think Kirko's coming in large and in charge. They're going to establish the run. New coaching staff, they've heard it all. And then London's going to just tear that defense up. I think it's going to be a great.
I hope so.
My fantasy team too, please.
There it is. That's
finally
got
to drop it in
London
there.
To tear it up.
So, but yeah, I think Atlanta, I have them winning the division. So I think they come out strong first week. I'm not a fan of Wilson and them, but it's hard to bet against Mike Tomlin.
I love Mike Tomlin. I do too.
Every time he just finds a way to get his team above 500.
He does.
Every year, you know?
That's a great point.
But, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to have to find another way because they're going to lose the opening weekend against the Falcons.
Fair enough. I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. And I think it's all Kirk Cousins for me, but I'm a big Kirk Cousins guy, so whatever. But I think it I think it gives that team as a whole just a new energy, even though who's the rookie they drafted? What's his name?
Penix,
even though he's been looking pretty solid, I think still bringing in an established quarterback just makes it a different feel. I think if Kirk Cousins is on that Atlanta team when they faced us last year, we would have lost that game. The Vikings would have.
I totally agree with that.
So, I don't know. I just got to go with Atlanta. I think there's just new energy. It's breath of fresh air. They're at home. That place is going to be rocking. I think the fans have a new energy there coming into this season. It's a winnable division. I don't think they're winning the division, but it's a very winnable division. If they don't, it'd be by one win. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's them or the Bucks.
Yeah, you have the Bucks. I think we also said this is probably maybe the worst of it, or was it?
Yeah, it's down there.
I would agree that it's probably the worst division in football.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see a 9-8 team.
Win the division.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Bucks go last year.
Did the Bucks go 9-8 or did they get to 10? I can't remember.
They were somewhere right around there, but I think
the Saints are a dumpster fire and... Who else? Panthers are in that division?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
whatever.
That explains it all.
Good luck, Bryce Young. Come on here, buddy. But with that, that wraps up week one of Gridiron Updates. Jake, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Jake will be here next week to recap.
Rub it in everyone's faces.
Oh, not even to recap the game, to rub it in everybody's faces. Yeah. Well, mine, because he took Ravens too.
That's true.
That's true.
But all the Kansas City fans' faces.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll be here for that.
Yeah.
And then if you don't win, I'll be here to let you know that you were wrong.
And I hope that all of the listeners and viewers, like, throw that into the comments.
Definitely. Talk crap on
you. Yeah, absolutely.
You should.
Yep. If he's wrong, comment.
Yeah. And all you guys can join us, too. We have a pigskin pick-em set up. I'll throw the link on the bottom side of this video so you can come in there, make all the picks, too. Play along with us all season long, so it'll be fun, and we'll make fun of you too.
We got to put those picks into ourselves.
So yeah, you probably should. Yeah.
I should. I got to get that figured out real quick. But with that, obviously, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, whether it's YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get the banter. And we'll see you next week for week two of Gridiron Updates. Don't forget that this episode again was brought to you by the Cappy 4-pack on Amazon. Peace.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.